This is Sunday morning, September the 2nd, 2018. And I'm going to start this series the Lord has prompted me to. It's called He Healed Them All. We've kind of had a rash of the devil's yuck come against us, and I was questioning the Lord about it. What's going on here, Lord? He said, well, he's prompted me to start teaching a series on healing. So I said, I understand. In fact, I want to read something. This was a word that I had at the beginning of the week, and I didn't really understand it at the beginning of the week, but I understand it now, talking about attacks. It's called the New Level Devil. You're never standing still. You've been moving on along to your destination. It has been slow and easy with each addition. You've encountered opposition, a new level devil. I told you that the intensity of new attacks was because you're about to step up. Yes, a new level in me, a place where you've never been before. Don't be afraid. You will prevail, and I'm with you, and you won't fail. Holy Ghost boldness is coming. The need to obey and take the gospel will override all fear. Yes, this new day in my church is here. Where there has been fear and exclusiveness, there will be boldness and inclusiveness. My grace and glory will be seen throughout the earth. Many, yes, being will experience the new birth. So be glad and rejoice for the coming of my glory. I have anointed and appointed you to take my story. So the story is, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were pressed to the devil. So the purpose of this series is not only for you to be healed, but to teach you how to get others healed. All right, I'm going to look at 1 Chronicles 8. Now, this scripture that I looked at was in the King James. It's going to word it a little differently in the Amplified, but 8:24. Let me look at 2 Chronicles. I may have written it down wrong. That's not 8. Well, I guess we'll skip that. In essence, the scripture that I was writing down, I guess I wrote down wrong. David made the statement that God made me king because he liked me. He liked me. And I'll find that scripture for next week. But he liked me. Now, everyone sitting here, I'm sure, at one time or another in your life, you thought your daddy didn't like you. Now, I'm going to tell this, and it's not to put any bad light on my father, but the Lord showed me this as he gave me this scripture, and then he showed me y'all. I remember one time, it was before our parents divorced, and we were sitting at the dinner table, and I guess my mother had fixed a roast, and my mother asked my dad, would you cut Carl a piece of meat? And he looked at me and said, no, because I don't like her. Well, I jumped up and ran to the bedroom, and it seemed like it was many hours later. I don't know if I fell asleep or what happened, but I remember Daddy laying down beside me and saying, you know your daddy loves you, don't you? But I think a lot of times, you know, we don't connect with our Heavenly Father because we think he doesn't like us. And if you can't connect to your earthly Father, you will reflect it in your Heavenly Father. God likes us. God likes us. He's not an earthly Father. And there's times, you know, we've all said those things. We've all done those things, gotten mad at our kids or whatever, and made them feel like we didn't like them. But our Father doesn't do that. Our Father likes us today. You know, I hadn't thought about that in many, many years. But for a lot of years, I didn't feel like God liked women. You know, we talked about the submission issue and how true biblical submission is something that's done of the free will. It is not something that is forced on a woman. And she's reminded every day of her life how unsubmissive and how, you know, that kind of thing, that's not God and that's not biblical. Who would want to submit to that? If somebody's beating you over the head and chastising you constantly about it, making you feel inferior. That's like a boss saying, berating you constantly. But our Father likes us. And I've got to find that scripture because when I read that, I thought, whoa. David said, He chose me as king because He liked me. Our Heavenly Father likes us. And when you know God likes you, then you can receive all that He's done for you. Forgave your sins. Healed your diseases. That's why Jesus would tell him, sons, your sins be forgiven you. Healing and forgiveness of sins are of the same package. Okay, Matthew 12:15. But being aware of this, Jesus went away from there, and many people joined and accompanied him, and he cured all of them. How many? All. He cured all of them. Is it God's will to heal you? Or is he like our earthly father? Well, one day he likes me and the next day he doesn't. See, if we've got any shame in us, we'll think, well, you know, I didn't act very good in that situation, so I'm sure that's why I'm not getting my healing. Come on now, this is how the devil works. God does not shame and he does not blame. When the children of Israel were going to go in, take Jericho, it said, this day the reproach is rolled off. The shame, the blame has been rolled off. Okay. No, he likes us. Our Heavenly Father likes us, and he will never not like us. We can all say, yes, God loves me. I know that. But to like, we can say, we love our kids. But to say you like your kids. How many people say, I love them, but I sure don't like them? No, God's saying today, I like you. You ever wonder why they say like me on Facebook? People want to be liked. Love is more of a general thing, but to be liked, that's important. To most people. All right, Hebrews 12. Verse 9. Moreover, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we yielded to them and respected them for training us. Shall we not much more cheerfully submit to the Father's spirits and so truly live? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for only a short period of time and chastised us as seemed proper and good to them. But he disciplines us for our certain good that we may become sharers in his own holiness. Now here's the difference between earthly fathers and heavenly father. Earthly fathers discipline us for their good as they see fit, for their benefit. Shut up. I'm tired of hearing you. But the Heavenly Father, it says he disciplines us for our good. He has our best interest at heart in everything he does. There's no selfish motive there. Earthly Father, selfish motive. Heavenly Father, no selfish motives. Okay, now Matthew 7. Keep on asking, it will be given you. Keep on seeking, you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. He who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Or what man is there of you, if his son asking for a loaf of bread will hand him a stone, or if he asks for a fish will hand him a serpent? If you then, evil as you are, being talking about flesh, a fleshly man, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, perfect as he is, give good and advantageous things to those who keep on asking him? So what is one of the greatest things he ever gave us? Well, forgiveness of sins, healing for our bodies. Healing for our bodies. To receive biblical healing yourself or to administer it to others, it must be established from God's word, the facts. Is it God's will to heal? People have to know when you get ready to pray for somebody for healing. It says is it Timothy that says don't lay hands suddenly on anyone? People need to be qualified if they are a recipient. I remember Brother Hagin in one of his, I think it's the health food book, where he talks to a couple, and this couple had been listening to the radio for about 10 days on his teaching healing. And she had something wrong with her, and she had to wear a back brace. They told her she didn't have long to live. But anyway, they wanted to meet with him, and so he met with them, and they had this idea, we thought we'd just pray, and if God healed her, then we'd know it'd be his will. So Brother Hagin set them down on the altar and began to tear apart their prayer and their thinking with substantiation from the Word of God to prove to them that it was God's will to heal. So when he finally prayed for the woman, she saw it for herself, and she could say, yes, it says it right here in the Word of God. And sure enough, he talked to them, took the time, taught them what the Word said about it, qualified it, prayed for her, she got healed. Flippant prayers, a text saying, agree with me about this. If we want to get people to the place they need to be, they're going to have to be taught. Even if it's just a small scripture or two, they first, if they're going to receive healing, they've got to know it, that it's in the Word of God. They've got to see in the Word of God that it is His will. Because when the devil comes to steal the Word, this is the only thing that's going to anchor them and hold them strong. Right here. Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. Isaiah 53. These three scriptures I'm going to give you today will be the ones that you can use. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Okay, second scripture is Matthew 8:17. And thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, himself took our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases. All right, third scripture, 1 Peter 2:24. He personally bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin, live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So people need to know God's word says it is God's will to heal. We don't have to pray, well, Lord, if it's your will, would you heal me? It's already established in his word. Once this is established, you will never have to ask if it is his will to heal you. You already know. 1 John 5, a lot of people will use this scripture on you. I've had it used on me. John 15, 14. And this is the confidence which we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he listens to and hears us. And if we know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know that we have the request made of him. So this is about praying, Lord, if it be your will. Well, concerning healing, it's already established in his word that it is God's will to heal. It does not waver regardless of the condition of the recipient. God's word says it is his will to heal. But I've sinned. You don't have to clean yourself up. Jesus had lepers, demoniacs, epileptics, cripples come to him, arthritic. I don't read anywhere where he made them qualify for it. In some cases, he would say, son, or whatever, your sins are forgiven. He never qualified them. Well, paying your tithe. Now, I'm not saying there'll never be a condition where, like Jesus with the woman at the well, he knew her condition, but it wasn't a condemning condition. He was just revealing to her, and she recognized him as Messiah through what he revealed to her about her own life. Or like the woman caught in adultery. He didn't condemn her. He said, I don't condemn you, but don't go sit, don't sin anymore. In other words, follow me. Okay, it does not waver regardless of the condition of the recipient. But I've sinned. I got mad at my wife, or got mad at my husband, or I cussed that person out. Why do you think Jesus said, your sins be forgiven, rise up and walk? I mean, I could take you to scripture after scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, anyway, of the different ones that he healed. And some of them he said, son, your sins are forgiven. Because the religious leaders got mad at him. You can't forgive sins. That's for God alone. Okay, John 37. 6:37, sorry. All whom my Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will most certainly not cast out. But this is even better, 38. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will and purpose, but to do the will and purpose of him who sent me. He came to do the Father's will. The Father doesn't cast out because he likes you. He likes you. Jesus healed many, and in some cases all, but he did not make them qualify first. Healing is God's calling card. His goodness draws them to him. Not making them aware that they've sinned and they're going to hell if they don't stop it. Okay, Romans 2:4. you so blind as to trifle with and presume upon and despise and underestimate the wealth of his kindness and forbearance and long-suffering patience? Are you mindful or actually ignorant of the fact that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repent, to change your mind and inner man, to accept God's will? So God's goodness is what leads men toward repentance. That's why Jesus healed. You can have all the money in the world and be sick. And can't all your money can't do anything to help you. So God's calling card is to heal someone that doesn't deserve it. Because he likes them. He's saying, I like you. I love you. Okay, let's look at a few more. Luke chapter 5. Verse 12. While he was in one of the towns, there came a man full, covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you're able to cure me and make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. Verse 17. One of those days, as he was teaching, there was a Pharisee and teachers of the law sitting by who came from every village and town of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present with him to heal them. This is a package deal. Part of our salvation package is healing. It goes without saying. I'd have to say you don't even really have to ask. It's like having an insurance benefits package. You don't go into a doctor's office and say, can I use this? You just slap it down and say, my coverage says I'm covered. And if they don't do it right, you get in their face and say, well, you better fix it. Isn't that how we act? Don't you tell me I ain't got no benefits. I got them. How much more so should we be doing it with the benefits we have with the Lord? He already says we already are healed. He didn't say, well, I will heal you. He says, already done. Just accept the fact. 103. Psalms. There's really not any other in the Bible that has 103, is there? I don't think. Except Psalms. Psalms 90. Psalm 119 has probably over 103. Bless, affectionately, gratefully, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deepest within me, bless his holy name. Bless, affectionately, gratefully, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits. Who forgives every one of all your iniquities, who heals each one of all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and corruption, who beautifies, dignifies, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth, your necessity and desires your present age and situation with good so that your youth renewed is like the eagle's strong overcoming soaring. So we see forgiveness of sins, healing of our bodies, youth renewal, dental work, fills your mouth with good. It says he satisfies your mouth with good. He also gives you good words to speak to create good things in your life. It's a package deal here. Okay, step one, establish God's will. How do we do that? This is the biggest thing after being born again, filled with the Spirit, that a Christian can do. This is Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service and spiritual worship. And what is that sacrifice? To not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So He wants us, after the born-again experience, being filled with the Spirit, to begin to let the Word of God show us His will concerning us. And the way we do it is by renewing our mind with God's Word. It will tell you or show you, I know this, when for a few weeks I've been pressing in on a physical matter. And what it did, when I began to do that, I had certain thoughts about it, but my thoughts began to change. It started coming into line to His will about it, and I saw things differently. I knew it was God's will to heal. Okay. All right, the next step is to focus on God's will. Once we know His will, then we keep our focus on that will, Proverbs 4. Because the devil's the reasoner. He'll come and he will try to bring in an alternate will. Well, you know, not this time. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For their life to those who find them, healing in flesh, or healing and health to all their flesh. All right, you find out what God's will is. Renew your mind with the fact of God's will and keep focused on that will. That has to be your focus. Like I said, if you can't get a person off of their pain and what they're going through and onto the Word of God, you will not be able to help them. Now, they could get maybe healed in a corporate setting where faith is high, but then when Satan comes to steal the word, they're back where they were. A temporary fix. We want them to be fixed for life, not just a temporary fix. Okay, two more scriptures. The serpent on the pole. This is Numbers 21. Verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient, depressed, much discouraged because of the trials of the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and we loathe this light, contemptible, unsubstantial manna. Then the Lord didn't send them, but they grew griping aloud, fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many Israelites died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. Well, we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that we may take away that He may take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent of bronze and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole, and if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked to the serpent of bronze attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze, he lived. So they didn't just glance at the promise box, serpent on a pole, walking out the door. Just a glance. It was a stare. It was a before your eyes. Jesus said that was His symbol on the cross. Right here in John 3:14. He said, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert on a pole, so it is necessary that the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross." Jesus was the serpent on the pole. Well, the serpent was brass. Brass represents humanity. See, brass Jesus was the serpent on the pole. He took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses on his back. So we're in essence looking at the serpent on the pole. Jesus is the serpent on the pole. His word is what we fix our minds on. The focus is not on the suffering. It has to be switched to God's will. God's will is going to have to override what the person is experiencing for them to see results. This is really important. If you can get them focused, like Brother Hagin set that lady down on the altar bench and had her look in the Word for herself, and she saw through scriptures, three of them, Isaiah 53, Matthew 8:17, 1 Peter 2:24. She saw for herself, it says in the Word, that she was healed. Then he could pray for her, and she could receive it based on that. So many people want you to do, like I said, a Facebook prayer or a text prayer. Just, you know, I'm on my way, I'm busy today, I'm just not doing too good. Won't you agree with me about this? So they go on about their way and they never give it another thought. Do you really want to be well? There's a proper way to do it. But as long as they're focused on the problem and what they're suffering, they will not see any results. If you, and the opportunity arises, even in your own life, when you begin to look into that mirror of God's Word and you focus on what's in that Word and what that Word says about you, and you are convinced, it's over. There it is right there. And don't listen to any other voice. The devil will try to tell you, well, not this time, you know, you got Paul's thorn, you know, it won't ever go away. He'll use all kinds of things to try to convince you that you do not deserve healing. He wants you to serve him well, renewed as the eagles, strong, overcoming, soaring, not broken down, not decrepit, not poor as a church mouse. See, all these things are in his word. You can take this with provision. You can take it with anything, any problem that's presented. Show it in God's word that it is his will. Get them focusing on the answer and not the problem, and you'll see results.